Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 229, Faith is a Walk. Pastor Harley Kolderman delivered this message on Sunday, December 26th, 2021 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So we want to welcome you and say Merry Christmas to you. God bless you at this time. It's a great time for families to get together, and it's a great time to remember that Jesus was born. It's no problem with that. Amen. Whether he was born in April or in December, we can dispute that. But Jesus is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the most important thing is not his first coming, but his second coming. Because he is coming back. Ready or not, he's coming back. So when the road ahead of us is a little bit bumpy, we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. It looks a little bit like the season ahead might be a little bumpy, too. So welcome to the new year that's coming up, 2022. But we don't have to walk alone. Like Enoch of old, we can walk with God. And so we want to talk about that a little bit this morning, that faith is a walk. But stepping into 2022, we don't really know in advance, unless God has shown you some things, the things that we're facing, the things that are going to happen. We do know that there are some critical things coming up. There's an election in our own nation that's coming up, be a very important election, maybe the most important election that ever has been in this country. So we don't have to be fearful about that, because when we tolerate fear, faith is contaminated. But many, many people are fearful during this time. You know, we're going through another round of the COVID stuff, and lots of problems in many countries of the world, including our own. Economic difficulties for many people. It's not an easy time for many people. So how are we going to face that? Are we going to face that with fear? Are we going to face that in faith? In the book of 1 John, it says in 1 John 4:16, it says, "So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love." So you can see that's really true, that fear tolerated is faith contaminated. So when we face this year and the difficulties and the problems and the bumps in the road, we have to remember where our roots are. Where are we grounded? And how are we going to face that in faith instead of in fear? In the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, 19th verse, it says, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." So here we see instruction to the Israeli people as they come into the promised land that they have a choice to make in life. They can choose life or they can choose death. They can choose blessing or they can choose cursing. But the choice is theirs. So that same reality really belongs to us as well. It was spoken to the Israeli people, but it really is spoken to us. It's God speaking to us today that life has choices, and the choices that we make are going to determine the outcome of our living. So we can purposely choose life and blessing, or we can purposely choose death and cursing. And the way we walk, the way we live our faith out determines which direction and which choice we're making. Because you can say things with your lips, or you can, you know, have good intentions, but, you know, as the old proverb goes, not the Bible proverb, but a proverb goes, the path to hell is paved with good intentions. You know, so our good intentions really don't get us anywhere, but a walk of faith can really change the outcome of our lives. So we need to be determined to be making those kind of choices, the choice that takes life and blessing and not the choice that takes us the other direction. So how do we choose life? Well, in this scripture, it shows us really three things. It says the first thing is loving the Lord your God. So if you really, really love God, you're going to make right choices, correct? Second thing it shows there is obeying his voice. It's one thing to love God, but then it's another thing to be obedient. The Bible says that those who are obedient will taste the good of the land. And choosing life and blessing has to do with not just loving God, but our obedience to him and obedience to the directions and the instructions that he's given us, those that we find in the Bible and those that are spoken into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's really, really important. You know, so many times that we've made wrong choices in life, we can think back about how it really didn't show our love for God, number one, and for sure it didn't show our obedience to God. When we went the wrong direction, took the wrong choice, went the wrong path, took the wrong fork in the road, that was not a good idea. What's, you know, you can look back now and say, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? I guess I wasn't thinking. I was just choosing, right? So the third part of this is, how do you choose life? Is you choose life by holding fast to him. Holding on fast to him. In other words, having a walk with God where you're close to him, where you're intimate with him, where you can hear his voice, where you're close enough to hear his voice. It's really, 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 really important how we walk through this life that we have. You know, we all have a finite, limited amount of time to live. Now, unless God has shown you exactly your end, which he sometimes does to people, we don't really know whether it's today or tomorrow or next week or next year. You know, for some people in 2021, it was their final year. Many people were taken by surprise, I suppose, you know, when COVID hit and some were taken out of this life. But we have no guarantees for tomorrow, really. So it really is important how we make choices today, because our choices today are going to affect our outcome tomorrow and next week and next month and next year. So as we look into stepping into a new year, we believe that we'll have the year, but just in case we don't, we should make some right choices and be prepared for a shorter time, a shorter walk, because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. So choosing life in those ways really takes what we call faith. Because if you want to make the right choice, you have to be a person of faith, believing and trusting, you know, that the promises of God are true, believing and trusting that the direction he's given you by the Holy Spirit is accurate and will take you to the right place at the right time with the right provision in order to accomplish the task that he's given you to do. So it's not rocket science, but it sometimes seems probably a little elusive, because when the pressure is on, it's a difficult time to learn faith. So the time to learn faith is really before the pressure is on. So if we do those three things that it says in Deuteronomy, love the Lord our God, obey his voice, and hold fast to him, we can have growing and increasing faith as we walk the walk. Then we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. So one of the problems that the world has with Christians is that they're a bunch of hypocrites. You know, they say, well, I don't go to church because there's hypocrites in there. Well, I don't. You could probably say the same thing about Myers or Kroger's. You know, there might be some hypocrites in there too. Or you might say that about, you know, visiting the, you know, any branch of our government. There might be a few hypocrites in there. Can't tell you for sure, but possibly so. Maybe so. Probably so. There might be some hypocrites there. So we can't just step out of life because some people are hypocrites. You know, we have to just... the thing is that we have to be genuine ourselves. Because if we're not genuine ourselves, then how can we expect others to be genuine back to us? Amen? Praise the Lord. So instead of being the thermometer that takes the temperature of everything around you, you should be the thermostat that really kind of sets the atmosphere. Amen? So set the atmosphere that you want to see. Be that kind of a person. Love the Lord your God. Obey his voice. Hold fast to him. Cling to him. And then you can make the right choices in the walk that you have, the walk of life, the walk of faith, the walk of a believer that sets the atmosphere for you and for those around you. Amen? Praise the Lord. So don't mean this to be a downer message, just pointing out some things that it could be a really difficult year coming up, and so we need to be particular about how we're going to step into that new year. And now we have just, you know, one more week before we actually are stepping into it, and it's going to be really going fast. I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe it's because we're growing chronologically older in age, but it seems like things speed up, have sped up. Seems like this year just started and now it's over again. You know, we're celebrating Christmas and we're coming into the new year and we're going to have a New Year's party on the, you know, on Friday, I guess it is. So, wow, I mean, the year's gone. And what did we do with the year? Did we accomplish all the things that God called us to do? Are we happy about the results of our life in the year 2021? I mean, not asking you to live in regrets or anything. I'm just saying, you know, sometimes it helps to step into the next year. It helps to take to assess the last year. How well did I do, you know, because maybe there's some things I ought to change, you know, as I'm going forward in the new year. Change towards walking by faith and not by sight. Because, you know, here's the reality. The things that make you afraid are usually the things that you see or you hear, the things that you can perceive with your five senses, right? You don't get afraid of what you cannot see. I mean, you just, well, sometimes there are things you can imagine, there's things that you can cook up, you know, and brings fear into your life and so forth and so on. But most of the things that make us fearful are the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we perceive, the things that we perceive around us with our five physical senses. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 kind of gives us the definition of faith. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for this new year? What are you hoping for 2022? You know, maybe you have some regrets about some things in 2021, but where are you going in 2022? What are you hoping for? If you're not hoping for anything, then your faith has nothing to take a hold of, right? Because faith is the substance of the things that you hope for. So if you're doing those three things, it's you're loving God and you're obeying his voice and you're holding fast to him, probably he's talking to you. He's talking to you through his word. He's talking to you through the believers that are around you. He's talking to you by his Holy Spirit speaking into your heart. And when he's speaking to you, he's trying to help you to choose life in a way that faith takes a hold of the things that you're hoping for and makes them realities in your life. So faith is not just some kind of, you know, magical thing that we're trying to reach for, but we never kind of get, and we never kind of get to that place. Faith is a thing that grows on the inside of us because we're loving God, because we're obeying his voice, and because we're holding fast to him. We're having a relationship with him that produces faith. And faith begins to take a hold of the things we hope for and bring them into our reality. So it's great to have some good hopes for 2022 and have some aspirations for 2022, because when we have that, then we have something to release our faith to receive. And the hand of faith begins to take those things and make them real, make them true, make them come true in our lives. It's not magic. It's trust in God. It's trust because we're loving Him, because we're obeying Him, because we're holding fast to Him, that we're hearing accurately what His Holy Spirit is leading us to do, how He's helping us to take faith action so that we can receive those things that we're hoping for. So maybe you have hopes and dreams for your family. You know, some of you have smaller children, younger children. Some of you have grandchildren. You have hopes and dreams for them. And it looks like, all, you know, the things that that are happening in the world are all counter to good things happening in the lives of our children and our grandchildren. I mean, just some bad stuff going on, some really rotten stuff going on. How do you let your faith take a hold of the things that of the hopes and the dreams that you have for those children? I mean, that's one area that you could be believing for in 2022. And maybe not just your children. You know, we all have friends. We have relationships together. So we don't just love our kids. You know, it's me, myself, and I, or it's you know, what they used to say, when they were preaching, they were saying, me, my family, and my son Jimmy, and, well, anyway, I didn't get that very well, so I won't try to use that. But the reality is that we have relationships together, we love each other, and so because of that, you know, we have a relationship with Carissa. She has two young boys. Many times they're sitting in the front row here when they're not with their dad. And so we have a responsibility to have some hopes and dreams for Carissa's kids, because we love Carissa and we love her boys, and we want them to grow up to be fine young men, full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and to have a good life. But there's a lot of assignments against that happening. But when we have hopes and dreams for them, we can have faith along with her, so that those things can be a reality for those two boys, in spite of whatever difficulties they might be facing or troubles or problems they might have. You know, it's not easy raising young kids. It's not easy as a couple, but it's not easy as a single parent either. So we need to love each other, and we need to have those hopes, aspirations, and the corporate kind of faith that makes things reality for the things that are hoped and dreamed for the people that are part of our family, part of our church family, and so forth and so on. So then you can extend that to the missionaries that we have relationships with, and the others that are in ministry, those that are reaching out to this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So faith becomes the assurance of the things hoped for. It becomes the conviction of things not seen. So you don't see those things that your faith is reaching for, but your faith is reaching for those things and bringing them into reality, because faith is an active force. It's a force that's put into action, really, when you cooperate with God, when you're loving Him, obeying His voice, holding fast to Him. He enters into the picture with you and begins to make those things become reality, those things that you're hoping for and dreaming. Praise the Lord. So it's important. Verse 2 of Hebrews chapter 11 says, For by it, that's speaking of faith, for by it the people of old received their commendation. Now, commendation is an interesting word. Commendation is usually thought of as an award involving special praise. In other words, you get special recognition when you get commendation. So it says here that by faith, these people of old, they received their commendation, not condemnation, commendation. Another word for commendation would be acclaim or acclamation or credit or recognition or regard or respect. Those are all words for commendation. These people received that because of their faith. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, it's a great chapter to read. It gives you kind of a like a one-line, two-line, three-line picture of these men and women of faith and what it did for their lives. Amazing stuff happened because they were people of faith. Now, the idea is that we should look at those pictures and then put ourselves in the picture. Because God wants you to be that kind of a person when you step into 2022. He wants you to be stepping into 2022 as a person of faith, a person whose faith has taken a hold of your hopes and your dreams and bringing them into reality. Now, one thing about all of these people in Hebrews chapter 11 is they all had difficulties. They all had big problems. They all had big situations that they faced, impossible situations, some of them. And yet God brought them through with a victory, an amazing victory. And so we can look at that story and say, you know what? If God did that for them, he can do that for me. But not only can he do that for me, is he will do that for me. He will take my hopes and dreams and bring them into reality if I love him, if I obey his voice, if I hold fast to him, if I walk the walk of faith. I can have those realities happening in my life. Amen? Anybody out there? Amen? Praise the Lord. You're not all sleeping. You know, ate too much for Christmas and, you know, celebrated too long last night or something. I don't know. But, God wants you to have a good 2022 full of faith and not full of fear. That's the reality. That's what he wants for you. That's what he sent Jesus to this earth for you to have, a life of faith. Not a life of ease. I'm not saying it's easy. So sometimes people say, I would be a person of faith and I would believe that, but it's too hard. No, it's not too hard, because we have all of these examples in the Bible of all these people who did all of those things and faced very, very impossible situations, and yet they came out on top. They came out with victory. And so you have to look at those pictures that he's painting for you and say, mine is just like that. And find the story that relates the most to you and the most to your situation and say, mine is like that. Now, you might feel like you're, you know, Daniel and the three men in the fiery furnace, or the three guys that got thrown into the fiery furnace. You might be feeling the heat right now. But remember, a fourth man jumped into the furnace with them. And they came out, and nobody could smell the smoke on them. Nothing, no, the fire didn't touch them. It killed all the people that threw them in. But those three men, they walked out of that fiery furnace. I don't know if the fourth guy stayed in the furnace or came out with them, but the three men came out of the furnace. They didn't smell like smoke. Their clothes weren't touched by the flames. And everybody was amazed, you know, how could this happen? Well, it was the impossible that happened through faith. Faith is the substance of the things you hope for. It's the evidence. But you have to listen to what those guys said before they got thrown into the fiery furnace. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, you know, you want us to bow down to your image, but we're not bowing. And our God can save us. But even if he didn't, we're still not bowing. Even if he wouldn't, we're still not bowing. So when you have that kind of trust, that kind of conviction on the inside of you, it can only come from loving God, number one, obeying his voice, number two, and holding fast to him. Because you can't be in the fire thinking about, woe is me. I got thrown into the fire. This always happens to me. If anybody gets thrown in the fire, I'll be the first one. If the flu comes around, I'll be the first one to get it. If the colds come around and the flu season is here, the COVID season, the Omicron season, the whatever the season is, it's going to get me first. If you got that kind of attitude, it probably happened to you, just like you said, just like you're believing. So the fire is all around us. The stuff is happening all around us. But we're called to be people of faith, men and women full of faith and full of Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that our faith won't be tested. Think about it. These guys were tested because they could see the flames and they could see the furnace and they could see the fire and they could feel the heat. And they heated that thing up seven times hotter. And when they heated it up seven times hotter, they had to make a choice. Are we going to bow or are we going to burn? But faith became the substance of the things they hoped for, became the evidence of the things they could not see. They determined they would not bow. They got thrown into the fire, a real furnace, really hot, but they came out without smelling like smoke. Hallelujah. Acclaim, acclamation, credit, recognition, regard, respect that we have for those men who faced the fiery furnace. So Hebrews chapter 11 speaks about those people of old. Another one of them was Enoch. I want to talk about him for a few minutes today. Maybe I made the introduction just a little bit too long. I have a habit of doing that. But Enoch was a person who walked by faith. So verse 5 of chapter 11 says, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he could not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So there's that word again, commended. He received acclaim, acclamation, credit, recognition, regard, respect as a person who pleased God. Verse 6, I think, describes a little bit more about what it takes to please God. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder. What's the reward? The part of the reward is the acclaim, the regard, the respect, the recognition of being a person of faith, a person who comes out with victory. So that's what God wants for you in 2022. So I want to talk about, how do we walk that out in 2022? What's the walk of faith look like for us? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me? So, but to do that, just let's examine quickly. Who was this man named Enoch? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, it says, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Now, Methuselah is an interesting guy. Methuselah was the oldest man that ever lived, if you know Bible trivia, right? Methuselah lived 900 and, what was it, 65 years, something like that. He was the oldest man. He was older. He lived more years than Adam lived, actually. Adam only lived 930 years. Methuselah lived 965 years. So when Enoch, this is the father of Methuselah, when he lived 65 years. So when he was 65 years old, he had a son named Methuselah. And verse 22 says, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. So think about this. His walk with God was not a sprint. It took him 300 years. 300 years he walked with God. So he only lived on, he was only on the face of this earth for 365 years. 300 of those years after he gave birth to his son Methuselah, he walked with God. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if you like Bible history, but I like stories like this because it's captivating. So then verse 24 says, verse 23 says, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Then verse 24 says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, because God took him. So Enoch is one of the few people in the Bible that didn't die. You know, Elijah was taken up to heaven without dying. Enoch was another one that was taken up to heaven without dying. Didn't happen to very many people, and doesn't happen to very many people today. I don't know if it happens to any, but here's a thought. If God did this for Enoch, would he maybe do it for you? If you love God, you obeyed his voice, you held fast to him, could it be that you just take a walk with God and one day just not come back? And your husband or your wife is waiting for you for dinner and you just don't come back because you walked with God. I don't know. I mean, he did it for him. He did it for Elijah.
Why not you? It's a thought. It's a seed. So, we see that he was commended for walking with God. So, whether this happens to us exactly like that, you know, where we just take off and walk with God and never see death, that would be kind of cool, you know. Just go be with Jesus and skip the funeral. Skip the casket. Skip the crying relatives and all of that stuff, you know. Just go. Be translated. Well, you know, some people are going to be like that, because when Jesus comes back the second time, the Bible says that those that alive and those that believe in him and are alive and remain, they're going to be caught up with him in the air, right? So there are some people that it's going to happen for. Maybe our generation is that generation that gets to go up like that. Wouldn't that be cool? Hallelujah. Are you ready? Are you ready for the ride? Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This could get exciting. Could be an interesting 2022. Just think of all the believers got caught up with the Lord in the air in 2022 and left all those other birds behind. Yikes. But it's a tragedy too, because where are those guys going? Man, we got work to do. We got stuff to do in 2022. Maybe that's a word for 2022. We got stuff to do in 2022. You hear that out there on the internet? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't even think of that. I didn't even plan that. I don't even have that in my notes. We got stuff to do in 2022. Glory to God. So, it's interesting to note, though, that the first mention of God walking with anybody is in the book of Genesis. Did you ever think about that? It started really in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says that when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife, that would be Adam and Eve, right, heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord called to the man and said, "Where are you?" I guess God probably knew where he was. I mean, God knows everything, right? But he's walking in the garden. He's saying, "Adam, Eve, where are you? Where are you?" So what does that tell you about Adam and Eve? They must have spent some time walking with God, right? It must have been maybe a routine. Maybe God came down in the garden every evening in the cool of the day and walked with Adam and Eve. Could it be? Probably was. Because he's out there looking for him. Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? Adam replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. And I was afraid because I was naked. Who told you that you were naked?" The Lord asked, "Have you eaten from the fruit I commanded you not to eat?" Remember what we were talking about before? Love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling fast to him. Would have been a good idea if Adam and Eve would have been loving the Lord their God, obeying his voice, walking, holding fast to him. Amen. So, look, these stories are in the Bible for us. These stories are in the Bible to say, you know, you don't have to do the same thing Adam and Eve did. You don't have to live your life that way. You don't have to walk the walk that way. You can love your God. You can obey his voice. You can cling fast to him. And while you're clinging fast to him, you can be taking a walk. A walk in the garden in the cool of the day. We got stuff to do in 22. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then, so it's interesting. You know, God's calling them now for their, you know, their sin, and their sin got them thrown out of the garden, and you know the rest of the story. The rest of the story is it didn't set things up very well for us, because we have to face a lot of things that we wouldn't have had to face if they had made a different choice. But you know, the same is true for you and for me as we step into 22. The choices that we make are going to determine the outcome of our life in 2022. So we got to be making some good choices, man, ladies. young people, all those out there in never, never internet land. So interesting. Sorry, I missed it on Methuselah. He was not 965 years when he died. He was 969 years when he died. So he lived 39 years more than Adam. Isn't that amazing? And he was the oldest man who ever lived. And yet he died before his father Enoch, because Enoch didn't die. How about that? For more Bible trivia. So there were six generations from Adam to Enoch. So Enoch was actually the seventh generation from Adam, because after him, after Adam was Seth, after Seth was Enos, after Enos was Canaan, after Canaan was Methuselah, Mahalalel, after Mahalalel was Jared, after Jared was Enoch. Enoch was the seventh generation from Adam. So I just did a couple of calculations that Enoch lived 365 years and he was raptured out by God. And that was the year 987. So Enoch was taken up 57 years after Adam died. So Adam was still alive when Enoch was taken up, because Adam didn't die until 930, year 930. So when Adam died, Enoch was 308 years old. So just think about family, relatives, so forth and so on. You know what happens at Christmas time? Families get together. Now, I know they didn't appoint the 25th of December as Christmas back when Enoch was walking with God. Okay, I get that. They didn't know about Christmas trees or Christmas lights or any of those kind of things, but they had family, right? Adam had a family. Adam's son was Seth, and his son was Enos, and his son was Canaan, and his son was Mahalalel, and his son was Jared, and his son was Enoch, and all these guys are still alive together. So, I mean, nowadays, you know, if we see three generations or maybe four generations, we think, wow, that's pretty out there, amazing. But think, they saw seven generations from Adam, they're still alive. And Enoch could have talked to his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. And think about it. What do little boys talk to their grandparents about? You know, see, little boys are cute. We have a couple of little grandsons. And, I got one named after me. You know, I don't know why they did that. I was rotten to do that to that kid. But anyway, he likes to talk. And he's getting to talk a lot. You know, he's only a couple of years old, 3 years old, going on three, I guess. And he's talking away, and then we have another little grandson, Egan, and he likes to talk too. And it's cute, you know, the things the kids say, and it's sometimes cute the questions they ask. Sometimes it's not cute the questions they ask, but sometimes it's cute. But just think about it. Think about maybe, say, eight-year-old Enoch, and he goes to visit his great-great-great-great-grandfather, Adam. Because he could, because Adam is now only 630-some years old. Only 630 years old. And he says, Granddad, what was it like in the garden? What did you do in the garden? Did you have anything to do in the garden? You know, now we have a pretty tough life. We have to plant stuff and reap stuff. And, you know, we got thorns and thistles and all of that stuff, you know, that happened after you got out. Like, why did you get out of the garden in the first place? Didn't you know any better than that? Didn't somebody talk to you about that? Granddad, what was it like in the garden? Well, we don't like to talk about that these days. It's been 630 years now, and we haven't been in the garden. And there's an angel out there, and he keeps us out of the garden. We don't like to talk about those things, son. No, but Granddad, I want to know, what was it like in the garden? What did you do in the garden? Did you see God in the garden? Is God real? I don't see God around here anywhere. Was he real in the garden? Did he walk with you? Did he talk with you? What happened in the garden? Well, son, yes, we walked together in the garden. You did? What was that like? What did God say to you? Well, I don't like to talk about that either. But really, Grandpa, come on. I want to know, what's it like to walk with God? What's it like to talk with God? How can you have a relationship with God like that? Well, grandson, I'm sorry. We made some big mistakes. Nobody can do that anymore. Nobody can do that. No, Grandpa, that couldn't be right. You know, you told me some things about God the other day, and he couldn't be like that. If he walked with you, maybe he'll walk with me. Do you think he would walk with me? Maybe he could walk with me. I think he could walk with me. I'm only 8 years old, but I don't know. Maybe he could walk with me. And so he kept talking to his granddad, and he grew older and older and older, and finally had sons himself. But he never lost his desire to walk with God. And he must have made up in his heart and his mind that God wouldn't say no to him. Somehow, that God loved him, and somehow that God would provide for him, and somehow that God would walk with him and talk with him. He must have determined that because, you know, the Bible says he walked with God, and one day God took him and he didn't come back. That's pretty close relationship, you know. But he found that place of relationship. So there are many other instances in the Bible that relate to walking with God. Just think about it. Would you walk with God and not ever have a conversation? You know, Psalm chapter 1 talks about walk. It says what not, where not to walk. So maybe that's a good place to start 2022, is where not to walk. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And then it goes on to say that this person who makes that kind of a choice, he will be like a fruitful tree, a tree that brings forth fruit. It says his leaf will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. So I don't know what you want for 2022, but I think that would be a pretty good hope and dream to have for 2022, to be fruitful, be productive, right? And to be able to walk with God in such a way that, you know, when the heat is on, your leaf doesn't wither. Amen. So if they heat up the COVID stove, hey, I'm passing that up. If they heat up the Omicron stove, I'm passing that one too. If they heat up any other kind of stove, you know, they cook something else up. You know, it doesn't matter, because I'm walking with God. I'm talking with God. I'll have what I need to face it. I'll need to get through it. And whatever I do will prosper. Isn't that a good dream for 2022? Stuff to do in 2022. Stuff to do is to have your eye on God, have your love for God, have your obedience for God, have your clinging to God, have your walk with God. I know I'm repeating myself a lot, but I want you to get it. I want you to get a dream for 2022, because you have stuff to do. Praise the Lord. That's becoming a revelation to me here. So the Bible talks about walking with God, and Enoch must have had some interesting conversations with God, because Jude only has one chapter, the book of Jude, the New Testament, and in verse 14 it says, "And so it was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and convict the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These were grumblers and malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage." He must have had an interesting talk with God, because God told him that, and he prophesied that. Kind of sounds like maybe he was watching CNN. I don't know. But no, he wasn't watching CNN. He was walking with God. Because what he's describing is stuff that's going on now. And what's going to come. Maybe sooner than we believe. Maybe in 2022. Who knows? So, the Bible talks a lot about walking with God. Psalm 23 says he makes us to lie down in green pastures. How does he do that? He has to lead you there, right? He leads us beside the quiet waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness, right paths, or another translation says, for his name's sake. Yes, even when I walk to the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for he is with me. He's walking with you, right? He's walking with you when he's leading you to those green pastures, when he's putting you beside the quiet waters. He's walking with you. Faith is a walk. Enoch found that faith was a walk. Faith for you is a walk. In 2022, faith is a walk for you. Are you walking with God? Are you determined to walk with God? Are you determined to have those talks with God? But a walk with God requires action. Exodus 14, verse 15 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses," this is another kind of a walk, "the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving." They were facing the Red Sea, and they had the army of Egypt behind them. "Divide the water so the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on dry ground." That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? "And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they will charge in after the Israelites. My great glory will be displayed through Pharaoh and his troops and his chariots and charioteers. When my glory is displayed through them, all of Egypt will see my glory and know that I am the Lord." So that walk with God through the Red Sea produced glory for God, because everybody knew he was the Lord. I mean, even when they got into the Promised Land, people were still afraid of him. Years later, generations later, people were afraid of him because of what God did to the Egyptians, because they were walking with God through that Red Sea. It's an amazing thing. Verse 19 says, "The angel of God, who had been leading the people of Israel, moved to the rear of the camp. The pillar of cloud also moved to the front of them and stood behind them." "The cloud settled between the Egyptian and Israelite camps. As darkness fell, the cloud turned to fire, lighting up the night. But the Egyptians and the Israelites did not approach each other all night." So God kept them apart, separated them, protected them until the Red Sea opened and they could walk through it. "I walked through the sea, he split the sea, and I walked right through it," we sing, right? Maybe that's 2022. He's splitting the sea for you. You got a problem? He can split the sea for you. You can walk through it, because he's walking with you, right? Amen? Isn't that a good thought? All right, so I'll try to wind it down here. So your walk with God requires courage. You know, Peter had an experience like that in Matthew 14. He saw Jesus walking on the water, and everybody in the boat was afraid. And Peter said to Jesus, "You know, if it's you, tell me to come." But Jesus spoke to them at once. He said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter called out to him, "It's really you." This is Matthew 14, 27, 28. "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. But your walk also doesn't just need courage, it needs some focus, because verse 30 says, when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified. Remember what I said? Fear contaminates faith. He was terrified. He began to sink. He said, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Isn't it great to walk with Jesus? Even when you're sinking, he's grabbing you. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus reached out and grabbed him. "So you have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why?" Some translations say you have so little bursts, such little bursts of faith. Jesus said, "Why did you doubt me?" When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, and the disciples worshiped him. Wow. So, do you want to stay in the boat, or do you want to walk with Jesus? 2022, stuff to do. You can stay in the boat, or you can walk with Jesus. What about walking Jesus since the resurrection? I'll try to end it with this story. Because the reality is that sometimes we just don't recognize Jesus. In Luke 24, there's a story like that. This is after Jesus died. He was raised from the dead. He had appeared to some of the disciples. He had appeared to Mary Magdalene on what we call Resurrection Day, what some people call Easter, misnamed. So another tradition, praise the Lord. So Luke 24, 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking. See, they were walking. Faith is a walk. They were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. So did you know you could be walking with Jesus and not recognize him? It happens. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, said, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about the things that have happened in the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. And so they began to describe to him the things, and then Jesus began to expound scripture to them and tell them what all that meant. Verse 28, let's skip down to there. "Do you know him well enough to recognize him?" Verse 28, "By this time they were nearing Emmaus and at the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, 'Stay the night with us since it is getting late.' So he went with them and they sat down to eat. He took bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and at that moment he disappeared." Wow. Isn't the walk with Jesus amazing? But the question is, when Jesus takes your hand in 2022, are you going to know it's him? Are you going to recognize him? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 6 says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight." I guess that's where we're at, right? Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. In the New Living Translation, it says, "So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing." Everybody say that. We live by believing and not by seeing. We live by believing and not by seeing. Verse 8 says, "We are fully confident that we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." So that's talking about like Enoch, right? When we escape these bodies, we're at home with him. Wow. I think 2022 is going to be really interesting. I think 2022 is something we should look forward to instead of being afraid of. Amen? 2022 is when we can walk by faith and not by sight. Amen?
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.